Welcome to the Customer Success Playbook Podcast Show. I'm your host, Roman Trebon, joined as always with Kevin Metzger. Kevin, how you doing?
Roman, I'm doing great. I'm excited about our special edition podcast today.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm looking forward to it.
Did you catch the Iowa-South Carolina game yesterday, Kev?
I did. It's always hard for me to see South Carolina win anything as a bumping grad, but man... What an incredible game.
Oh, awesome. I don't know. I'm sure the TV number's probably out. I haven't seen it yet. I'd have to imagine it was one of the most watched women events we've had. I thought it was must watch. Kalen Farts against undefeated team. It was awesome.
Yeah. And to have a team go completely undefeated during a season, that's incredible. I mean, you don't ever see that.
Yeah. No, it's great. It was awesome. So, all right, so what are we getting into today, Kev, outside of March Madness?
Yeah, so, I mean, since March Madness is over and we got through, we're into April, I mean, almost over, I guess we still had men's championship game, but we thought we'd do something a little different, and I want to highlight some LinkedIn posts in this this episode, and maybe just talk a little bit about thoughts on these posts. What do you think?
Let's do it. Let's get into them. I haven't been on LinkedIn today. I don't know what's out there, so I'm anxious.
Yeah. So first post I hit, it's a former guest. It's Ed Powers.
Okay.
Nice. Actually, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to share my screen too. So okay. If I happen to do this on video, we can have people see what we're talking about.
I needed it today. I needed some. I was calculating some revenue figures, and I wish I had some of Ed's calculations in my back pocket going through that exercise.
Yeah, I'll tell you. He's got his course, the data driven, and actually that's what this post is about. The data-driven course that's up on Udemy. I'm going to take it there. I know he does live cohorts as well, and I think the one he's advertising here is live, but this post, right? Perhaps nothing leads to more bad decisions than relying on average churn rates. Why? Churn time is dependent. Churn rate is usually nonlinear. Period calculations can add substantial errors, small sample sizes, increase uncertainty, revenue churn is often non-normal. And basically he gives some explanation on each of these, but what he's talking about is when you're looking at churn and you're looking at churn rates, how do you look at it? If you're just looking at the churn number and how it changed each month, that's a specific point in time number that you're looking at. You may not be getting an actual real calculation, based off of just a statistically accurate real calculation. So I think that's, one of the things. It's definitely a mistake that's easy to make. I think most of us, when we...
It's an easy metric, right? It's an easy mistake to make, and it's an easy metric, right? You take churn, you come up with an average, it's easy to understand, it's easy to calculate, right? I feel like it's even, Ed lays out kind of the math behind it, but I just even think you got to get more prescriptive even analyzing your churn, right? You got to get way underneath than average, right? Average is it's so hard to get real, like, why, what is happening with an average churn number? Yeah, I think you got to be really start analyzing where the churn's happening, why it's happening. You got to really analyze that. If you're making any impact on you decreasing the number, I don't think average is going to tell you that story.
Yeah. And it's going to change significantly. And when we talked about, your calculations, if you're just looking at churn, right? That's only a piece of the calculation as far as your annual recurring revenue and your NRR. The churn has an impact on it, obviously, right? But if that's all you're looking at is the average churn rate, you're not really getting a view as to how it's actually impacting those numbers so much. You just know that the customers that churned impacted it, but it's not really a view of, well, this is what we should expect into the future because we're just looking at an average churn rate. If you actually look at a calculated churn rate based off of probability and using probability into it, you now can actually get a little bit more predictive based off of the range. It's right. It's not just a churn number, but it's a range that you're looking at. And now you've got some ability to be predictive. So I think Ed's always on, such a smart dude to listen to and talk to. And I'm excited about taking his class here.
Yeah, we got to stay on top of that. I want to hear how it's going, and I'm sure it's awesome.
Yeah, I remember probability both from undergrad and then again my MBA program, and it's something that I'm hoping I have the time to actually really understand at the level that I want to understand it at by going through the class again and solely focusing on it, because I always took it with other classes. And I feel like I always struggled with. I think a lot of us do.
I think this type of math, I took a similar course specifically for contact center metrics, but it was all the stuff Ed talks about, multiple regression, sample size, probability, all of that. And it's not super hard math once you learn it. But it's so important. Like, if you understand those numbers, it's a game changer, in my opinion. So it's, I think you'll love it. Love the course.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Let's see. So that was the first post we talked about. This next one, is Eddie M. Chavez, Chief Growth and at
Propel.
So this is actually, it's a good post. Let me, he's a Chief Growth Officer. I'm going to have to reach out to him after having read through this post and see if I don't think I got to the post here. See if we can get him on as a guest. Here's the post. Okay. So as Chief Customer Officer, driving sustainability, growth, and long-term revenue is your top priority, but traditional approaches to customer success may not be sufficient to meet these goals. It's time to adopt a new mindset, one that focuses on prescriptive leadership. So he goes on to talk about what prescriptive leadership is and why you should follow prescriptive leadership. And I'm going to try and summarize it because there's a lot in the post rather than reading it out loud. But I think what he's trying to do is say you really got to drive your team to think about these concepts: enhanced customer experience, data-driven decision-making, increased employee engagement, overcoming obstacles, customers' resistance to change, the technology barriers, balancing short-term and long-term goals, and really looking at it from the perspective of the customer, and it basically driving decisions to the CSM. Roman, I think you're trying to maybe read through it as I talk about it, but driving decisions to the CSM to, once they understand this, right, to make decisions in that order. Otherwise, you're not engaging. Any initial thoughts? I know I'm hitting you with this.
How does he define this? Is it prescriptive leadership? Does he have a definition for it somewhere that's easy to get to?
Let's see. So according to our leadership that gets results is all about setting direction, aligning people, and motivating and empowering employees to achieve their success by adopting a prescriptive approach. So,
That's it. Leadership that's about setting direction, aligning people, motivating, empowering. I'm all 100% all about that, right? I mean, isn't that, I think if you do that as a leader, that's like the ultimate goal. You get your team, they're all marked, everyone knows what the goals are, why it matters, the KPIs, they're all, understand like why the work matters and what they're doing. And then you you empower them to kind of like, you know, ideate, innovate, best serve the customers. That's great. I'm all for all the reasons he outlines, right? Just how the impacts it can have.
Yep. No, I agree. And I think it's important. One of the things that I know I find in a lot of companies that I've joined, and I think this happens when you are in a growth stage, right? And if your company is in customer acquisition mode, there's a lot of building and growing, right? And then you get to a point and you're still in customer acquisition mode, but now you've got a whole bunch of customers that are in steady state too. And you really haven't developed your steady state processes because you've grown through, you know, your acquisition, customer acquisition. And I don't think that ever stops, by the way, but getting to the steady state, if you're a growth company, getting enough customers into that steady state, I think that's where you see a lot of companies are reactive at steady state at first. And you know, especially when you get to that 3 to 5 year period where everything's been growth up through years 1 through 3, or even years 1 through 10. But you get to that growth stage and now you've got folks that are in steady state and you don't have enough processes put in place for managing steady state. And you really don't know. I think a lot of companies start in a reactive spot and it takes a little bit of time and effort to say, all right, we need to not be reactive to our steady state customers. We need to be implementing processes that are proactive and driving results for our customers. That's where customer success comes in. I think that's why customer success got developed initially. It was initially one of the reasons why we were concerned where we thought churn was coming from initially. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I mean, obviously we've had conversations since then that customer churn is, initiated way at the onboarding stages, and a lot of times it can be, but you also see in results. I mean, all of us have where, it's the support structure that drives customers away, and that happens too. So,
I think client success is, you talk about that steady state, but you got to get clients to grow. If you're not, clients aren't growing. I mean, that's the, you know. And again, it does have an impact on onboarding and it's important, right? But that's where you're setting the growth trajectory, right? That's getting value. That's all the stuff we talked with Donna about, getting first value, and then you're, continuing to reinforce and grow from there. So, all right. Can we get anything else? What do we got?
I marked a couple others, but I think...
Let's fit one more in here. We got
one more.
Anything going on?
So on Thursday, April 11th. I got to go back again. I keep hitting the wrong area of this to go in. So Thursday, April 11th, there's customer success events. So the customer success company puts on this customer success events page, and they are advertising for Valerie Falk, who's basically going to be part of their AI day. This is basically a conversation from the Customer Success Collective on April 11th. Looking forward to seeing people there and hearing all the great examples of driving efficiencies and personalization and expanding reach through the use of AI to augment the customer experience. So this is a full day some full sessions anyway on AI on the 11th. It's worth signing up for. I'm going to it. It looks to be pretty interesting. They've got a few interesting speakers. This one's just highlighting Valerie, but
free pack. If you can get it, I mean, definitely worth signing up for, right? So
yeah,
that you can check. So if people are listening, customer success events on LinkedIn, right? That's the page.
Yep.
find it there.
Yeah,
sign up. A lot of times they give, what I like is if you can't make all the sessions, you can get like the recording afterwards, right? So you can kind of watch on demand. So, you know, like for me, I won't be able to make it. My day is crazy on the 11th, but I can sign up and, you know, watch it later, which will be awesome.
Yeah, and if not, you and I will
do. Or give me a summary. Either one. So awesome. All right, Kev. We got a guest lined up for next week. Angeline Keesh from Broadcom is going to be on talking about diversity and inclusion in the customer success and how to lead in a diverse lead a diverse culture at work, which I think is going to be very interesting. She has some great stuff that she's done at Broadcom. I know what I'm about. So excited for that.
Excited for that as well.
All right. Prediction, UConn or Purdue tonight, Kev?
I think UConn's, I think they're going to say get yourself.
I agree. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Until then,
keep on playing.